Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Bacon Smiles Podcast, episode 62.
Getting up there.
That's right. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Yes, I'm excited. It's been a few weeks since our last podcast.
Coming up on Christmas, too.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just pumped, excited, just had the third week of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
And that means Christmas is next week.
And your birthday shortly after.
That's right. 5 days after Christmas, December 30th. So, yeah, a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. That means there's tons of Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
You got Christmas music that
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about. I had confirmation class, so
cool.
Did you.
Yep.
Mine was on Advent and what kind of season it is. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that a little bit. Again, Christmas movies, Christmas albums. The gospel is Luke 1, 26 through 38. Pretty mm-hmm. awesome reading. St. Peter Canisius, which is fun to say, is our saint of the day. and then you got News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
So, first things first, last podcast I talked about my mom breaking her leg.
Yeah, how's she doing?
She's doing pretty good. So I wanted to give an update about that. So she had surgery. The surgery went well, but it's going to be a long road. Hmm. So if you could pray for her and a speedy recovery as much as there can be. And if you just think about it, just say some prayers. She can get down feel down because there's not, a whole lot she can do. She can't put any weight on the leg yet. She hasn't started physical therapy, and that's going to be a rough road, too. So if you think about it, shoot Rosemary some prayers for healing and joy. She is pretty pumped, though. My brother and his girlfriend made the drive down to Florida to spend time with them. So that kind of cheered her up a bit. But I know it can get tiresome not being able to move around. She's not able to put any weight on that leg, so pretty confined, but she is doing moving along good. As expected, which is good. So other than that, confirmation class.
So we talked about Advent. We had our class the first Sunday of Advent as mm-hmm. well.
Yep.
And then we had a second class this past Sunday. So I was just talking about the season of Advent, what mm-hmm. each candle on the wreath symbolizes.
Yep.
And this past Sunday, it was a little more of a laid-back class. A lot of the classes that I do, we do a lot of material, a lot of games, a lot of fast-paced motion.
Yeah.
This one, I was kind of okay with just being a little more laid-back. Brought in some eggnog, brought in some snacks and some hot chocolate.
Cool.
And just had some community time where we're all just talking and socializing. And then
yeah.
had them do, I created some crossword puzzles and word searches using Advent words in it.
Oh,
so
nice.
As groups, they got to sit down together and work on them together and still have conversation.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
So
mine, we did, I wanted to talk about the preparation of the season of Advent. And I got kind of like in a video vortex preparing for class.
Right.
Father Mike Schmidt, and then there's some opinion videos and stuff like that. And there's all this talk about the fact that Lent is really the only penitential mm-hmm. season, the season of penance and going to confession and stuff like that. Like it's mm-hmm. like a season of penance, giving things up and reconciliation being a big mm-hmm. part of it. However, there also is a big part of Advent, even though it is not technically according to the Church a penitential season. It's a season of house cleaning.
Right.
Yeah. Getting yourself prepared for the coming of Jesus. And it's not just the act of remembering the birth of Christ, but it's also his second coming in getting yourself prepared. So it is a season where if you haven't been to confession in a while, you mm-hmm. should. You should clean your house.
Yeah.
as many of us do if we are hosting Christmas or anything like that, we get our house ready. We get it in, for our visitors, for our guests, for our family. And we should be doing the same thing as we prepare for mm-hmm. Christ's you know, birthday, and the season of Advent is about getting prepared, preparing mm-hmm. yourself. And so the other part that I did, that we did as a class, was breaking down the readings from that day. So the first week in Advent, we went over the first reading, the second reading, and the gospel in different ways. So the first two readings, I wanted them to look up in the Bible, you know, what else was going on around mm-hmm. those scriptures. So not just the few lines that are in the reading, mm-hmm. but that whole chapter. Yeah. So if the reading was from Philippians chapter 3, I want you to read mm-hmm. chapter 3 and then tell me what was going on. You know, mm-hmm. put it into perspective. Mm-hmm. And not many people do that.
Right.
But as Catholics, we're actually supposed to do that every week. Mm-hmm. We're actually supposed to look up what the readings are on Sunday and come in prepared to celebrate the Mass mm-hmm. together. We're actually supposed to come in, you know, mm-hmm. already knowing it. Listen, I get it. Busy life, you know, some that it's like, well, I can read it when we get there, you know, and mm-hmm. that's fine. In all honesty, that's great. In reading it as it's being read to you, absorbing that information, that's awesome. It's great. Participating in the Mass and in really absorbing that information is really the key point of being prepared going into it. So it was a really good exercise for them. A little more laid back than, or like, you know, slow moving than my classes normally are, right. Well, as far as activities go. But I found it to be an important exercise for them to get into the actual scripture. Mm-hmm. And basically, you think about the fact that over the years, you pretty much hear the whole Bible mm-hmm. in the Catholic readings. And so if you're actually delving in and getting the full chapter going through the readings, that's a really good thing mm-hmm. to do. And it's a good exercise to show them. And then what we also did was with the gospel, did a Lectio Divina. Mm-hmm. And so where you read through and you're asking, what's God trying to speak to me? What's something that stuck out? What's mm-hmm. a word? What's a phrase? What's a line that stuck out? And so you read through it three times, mm-hmm. looking for the message that God is speaking to you. And so that is a really great form of prayer that utilizes scripture. Mm-hmm. And so if scripture is a struggle for you, which let's be honest, as Catholics, we're not the best at knowing scripture. Mm-hmm. And so that's where if you do a Lectio Divina with the gospel reading, you know, that day's gospel reading a few times a week, mm-hmm. and maybe every day, maybe that's something that you do to prepare for this next week until Christmas. I don't know, just throwing that out there.
Right.
You know, but that's a way where you can be like, okay, what's God telling me today? Mm-hmm. What's a word? Why is this word sticking out to me? Oh, why is this line sticking out to me? And what's God telling me that I need to do today from today's reading? And that's an awesome way to get really into it, you know? And that's why I love Lectio Divina, because you're processing the scripture and prayerfully and like meditatively absorbing the gospel, the living word of Christ, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's why I find it just awesome to show our teens the different ways that you can use scripture mm-hmm. and the different ways to absorb it and the fact that like we should be getting a little more than just hearing it, you know, talked to us, read to us at Mass. We should be absorbing it prayerfully and celebrating it at the Mass and celebrating the gospel and why we do those things. So it was really an awesome exercise.
Yeah, we did that too, actually. The first class of December, we ended up splitting our class into groups, and they all received a piece of paper with one of the parables that Jesus shared. And so I asked each group, they got a different parable, and they were to read it and talk about it and then come up with either questions for us, the teachers, or questions for the class after they share what they read and what they took away. And if they didn't understand it, they could by all means ask
that's awesome.
Me or the peer minister question. And I had a lot of great discussions coming out of that.
That's great. Yeah, it's amazing because you start handing out Bibles in confirmation class to teenagers, immediately they're like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you give them, like, something to do with it, something like a task, and not just turn to this page, this chapter, this verse, and read it.
Right.
And especially if you can make it a small group discussion, I think it works out awesome. And I broke them up into like three small groups. And then when we were done with that activity, I also did the Trivia Pursuit Juniors from 1987. And so it's really funny with the stuff that, like, all right, so if I ask you, what candy's motto is it melts in your mouth but not your hand?
M&M.
Yeah, perfect. Like, you know it right away. None of them knew that.
Wow.
I actually don't know when the last time that motto was on a commercial. Yeah, I was about to say,
how old is that motto?
Yeah, it's got to be old.
Yeah.
I knew it right away. The parent who was, like, shadowing me that day or helping me out that day was immediately knew it, too. They went with, like, cotton candy.
Yeah.
So it kind of tells you, like, that little bit of separation, which is why I love using that 1987 version of the trivia, because it's, like, it's stuff like that that's different.
Right.
You know? And the fact that it's meant for 7 to 10-year-olds, but it's also from 30 years ago. I was going to say 20-something years ago, but it's 31 years old, that game.
So I just looked it up, and they first used that slogan back in 1967, and I think it wrapped up around 1988.
That's funny, because we use that.
Like, maybe. I'm not sure. It did start back in 1967.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying, like, it makes sense that it may have really stopped being their main slogan in 1988, but it's, like, you know,
it's still the most popular known
slogan for them. So then there's also, like, you know, sports questions of players that retired before these kids were born, you know, and so it's fun to do that. And so it's really fun to see them get competitive about, like, nonsense knowledge and stuff like that. But it's really great to see them, you know, in the small groups and stuff like that, which is something that I believe strongly in, is even in a group with 12 or to 15, you know, high schoolers in my confirmation class, breaking them up into small groups like that and playing games or doing activities and getting them to kind of delve in is the way, I don't know, you know, it's the way to get them to learn and participate and build those bonds in the church community. Did you guys had youth group recently, too?
We're going to have youth group this Sunday.
This Sunday. Okay. Yeah. We had ours this past Sunday, and my beautiful, wonderful, supportive wife baked 90 cupcakes.
Wow. How many were left at the end of youth group?
A few, and I ended up giving them away so that I didn't take home a lot.
Yeah.
But so basically, so for junior youth group, you know, did half, and then for high school youth group, I did half. But we did, you know, no frosting on them so that they could frost and create own creations. And so there's a lot of really cool, you know, sprinkles and stuff like that. And so it was really cool to see the different creations that they all made and to get kind of involved and, you know, it's something fun to do. But I didn't do Christmas themed. We did birthday themed.
There you go.
Jesus's birthday to remember. And it was funny because a few kids that came in were like, oh, whose birthday is it? And I'm like, Jesus?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. So it was really cool. And they got a kick out of it. And it was really fun to see them, like, just be kids, you know, and I feel like, you know, something as simple as, like, decorating cupcakes reminds our young people that they are still young and just enjoy yourself, make some cupcakes, do some, you know, something silly, play silly games, and it was awesome. So it went really, really well.
Good.
And it reminded me of like doing like cookie decorating contests mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So it was awesome. But speaking of cookie making contests, did your family have any like traditions like that growing up, like Christmas traditions?
We would make cookies leading up to Christmas, and my mom would have a lot of spreads out where she'd have different plates with different cookies and stuff like that. In the last couple of years, Jen and I haven't really had a tradition yet, but we've been trying different things, whereas we're picking out Christmas trees or, you know, picking out different decorations for the trees and seeing what themes we like for different rooms. But we'd like to start tradition. We haven't even seen any movies this year, like any Christmas movies yet for the season.
Well, technically, they are Christian, too.
They are Christian, too. Yeah.
Christmas.
Right. I can see it there. But yeah, we're trying to figure out what we'd like to do. Some caroling. My family used to do that years and years ago, go around the neighborhood carol. And I miss doing that. So hopefully we'll get that together soon.
It's an interesting thing because I also like, I can't remember the last time I saw anyone caroling.
Right.
Can you?
Unless if it's like at a store, like a shopping area or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's just interesting to think about that. Like my neighborhood, definitely not.
Yeah.
You know. There's no sidewalks. It's not well lit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We went over this on Halloween. but it's interesting. Like, how would it be received? Like, would people be like, okay, no, thank you.
Right.
They think you're trying to sell something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we did it up until I think I was done with high school. So that's got to be about 13 years now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's a youth group thing we could do going forward.
We used to do that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Probably about the same, just as long ago. I definitely remember when I was in high school doing like the neighborhood around St. Bartholomew's. I remember when I first came back as a young adult mm-hmm. with being a confirmation teacher and then, you know, transitioning to the assistant youth minister at St. Bartholomew's that we did for a few years still do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it stopped. I know not different groups of young people felt more comfortable doing it than others.
Right.
And so I don't know if we had a couple of shy groups in a row that were just like, I don't really want to do that, which is fine. Like, I'm not saying anything negative about that. I'm just saying, but I think it does take a confident, outgoing group to being like, yeah, let's go do that. And a group that can sing, because if it's a group of me's, people like me, as MJ put it, you have passion, you just can't sing.
Right.
Love you, MJ.
Yeah.
But no, so I'd be curious how many of our young people would feel comfortable going out and doing some caroling, just spreading some Christmas joy.
There you go. Well, last year my class actually did that. At the end of our December class, we went out into the hallway right before Father Hussey Hall. And the original idea was to go classroom to classroom and sing a song to the class.
Oh, that's
but
cool.
I thought, you know, that depending on what the class is working on, if they're doing like their closing prayer or something, that'd be super disruptive.
Yeah.
So we ended up standing at the end of the hallway right where everyone walks out after class, and we sang a few songs. And it was just being like, what song do you guys want to do now? Let's do, you know, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or
whatever
they wanted to do. And then we sang for a couple minutes, and then we went on our way. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. In that, we also had the tradition of decorating the trees out in front, and that was Mike Moynihan and Kim Aaron, and their classes would decorate it all up and everything like that. So that's really cool. Mike, Kim, and I for years and years used to do the seasonal sharing to, you know, give out gifts and the food and everything like that. And it was just, you know, that was an awesome tradition that we had, which now with, you know, our family's growing and, you know, it's, you know, we kind of drifted apart.
Yeah.
You know, Mike moving on from St. Bartholomew's, St. Teresa, and myself too. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, we talked recently about, you know, next year, get back together, bring back the tradition. So that would be cool. It's just an amazing tradition in like the fact that seasonal sharing, people pulling tags off a tree and saying, I'm going to buy this gift. And then the group that wraps all the presents and does all that stuff. And then all the food that's donated and brought out to the families. It's just awesome, an awesome thing to do. So that's a tradition that I miss. I miss doing that, but I'm glad to see it still continues. You know, and that, you know, the new guard, more and more people get the opportunity, it's, you know, to do it. And so I feel confident that it all still gets done.
Yeah.
So, it's just those kind of traditions. My dad, as a kid, used to decorate this house like Clark Griswold.
Clark Griswold, yeah.
You would be able to see it from the top and the bottom of the street. Yeah, and I, the past few years, this year definitely too, I've just been working way too much to be able to put in the time and get that done.
It was funny driving up your street because I saw your neighbor's house where it looks like a gingerbread house with all the lights and everything. Yeah. So I was like, is that Steve's house? I see Steve's house.
Steve's house, dark. The Grinch lives there. It's just, you know, it's a lot. And I actually, the more I think about it, I'm like, how did my dad have the time to do all of this?
Right.
But he loved it. He, you know, Santa Claus on the roof and lights across the gutters and big lights and animated deer in the front lawn and all the bushes all lit up. The big pine tree that's in my driveway had lights all the way up it. He used to stand on top of a ladder that was leaned against the tree with a big extended pole wrapping them around. I'm like, this is the most dangerous thing I've ever seen. But lighting up that tree was an important activity.
See, my father-in-law has projector lights. He just sticks it into the ground this year and says, okay, I'm done.
I could do that. I don't want to do that. Because if you're going to go for it, you might as well go for it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I remember a couple of years ago, those lights, they're like, please make sure you're not shining them up into the sky.
Right. Confusing the airplane pilots.
Yeah, exactly. So that was like another tradition, was lighting up this house like, Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation.
We're slowly getting there.
Well, I saw your picture for your Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Pretty big tree.
It was. That was the only size they had available. So it was like we're walking around trying to find something thin and short, and there weren't a lot of short trees.
So you ended up having to cut it shorter?
Yeah. So we ended up trimming it on both sides.
Okay.
So it now fits in the house.
Nice. Glued it back together.
It's not going in. You know, it's not going in our yard, Jen. This is going in our house. It looks very nice now that's in there.
Awesome.
And our driveway smells very nice too after all the trimming.
So, what's your favorite Christmas movie, since we talked about Christmas Vacation?
So, let me think. Growing up, there was a movie that my family watched, and it was a 30-minute Disney film called The Small One. And I think it came out in the 70s. You'd never see Disney come out with a movie like this now because of political correctness. But it's a story about a little boy who's looking to sell his donkey. And then he's running into all these obstacles, and his dad told him, you need to sell this donkey by the end of the day, otherwise I'll take care of it. And he's like, no, he's my best friend, I'll take care of it. And then at the very end, he meets this very nice man with very kind eyes and says, hi, I need to get to Bethlehem. I heard you have a donkey for sale. Mm. And I don't know why, like a couple of years ago I watched, and I've been watching this all my life, and then like maybe 2 years ago, I was watching it with Jen for her first time seeing it. I was just like rubbing tears out of my eyes. It's like there was something.
Something struck you about it?
Something struck me about it. And maybe it's just because of my involvement in youth ministry and how my faith has really changed over the last few years.
Yeah.
But the resonance that it had with me was just, it meant a lot, and it surprised me. It caught me off guard.
That's awesome.
So I really like that, and I also really like It's a Wonderful Life. Haven't seen that in the last couple of years, but we have it on DVD, and maybe that'll be the movie we see this year.
Okay.
If we find time for it. How about you?
So, I mean, the movie I've probably watched the most, pretty much, is probably Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Like, I love that movie. It's just a classic. It's funny and mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. And more, I'm trying to think, like, more recently, like, probably Elf is a new classic. It's
And that just turned 15 years old this year.
Did it really? Wow.
Yeah.
Getting old. That's crazy.
That movie's as old as our freshmen.
Yeah.
In our youth ministry programs.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's...
That just got real.
Yeah. Well, that's... what was 15 years ago? You know?
Yeah.
Like, 2003?
Yeah.
I was a freshman in college.
I was a junior in high school.
Wow. Yeah. So, but no, so probably Elf and then, you know, Christmas Vacation and...
Yeah.
I'm also guilty pleasure. I love ridiculously corny Hallmark Christmas movies.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous. Because, and I, at this point, I do watch them with such like a glance of like, oh, I know where this is going.
They all go the same way.
But how about Christmas music? What?
So Christmas music. There's been a couple albums I've been listening to a lot this year. One of them is Matt Maher's new one, The Advent of Christmas.
Yeah.
And that one's really good. I don't know if you've heard it on Spotify yet. But,
Not yet, no.
The arrangements, our friend Jackie is watching on Facebook Live, so she can agree with me on this. I told her the arrangements on the album are really, really cool. So there's some traditional songs. There's a song that Chris Tomlin has recorded before. But just listening to the musical arrangements and the way that they're composed is just really, really interesting, and it's really cool. Jen was listening to it with me the other day, and she goes, Matt Maher, you're so cool. I don't know how you do it. So Matt Maher's new album, The Advent of Christmas. Also, Stephen Kurtz Chapman, I think I mentioned this last year, but his album Joy is really, really good. It's his latest Christmas album. And the Benedictines of Mary... this is an older album, but they put out an album called Advent at Ephesus. And it's a really, really pretty album. It's mostly nuns singing a cappella Christmas hymns and Christmas carols.
Awesome.
And for me, it's like the perfect Christmas Eve, like late night album.
That's
when
really
you're just,
cool.
It, things are quiet and you just want some soft, easy listening background music.
Yeah.
So those three albums have been on high rotation in my car and at work. What about you?
So there's an album that came out like maybe five years ago, Sidewalk Prophets Christmas.
Yeah.
Dude, I love
Merry
that.
Christmas to you, I think
it is. Yeah. I just, that whole album is great. Mm-hmm. The renditions that they do of like crap.
It starts off with the Peanuts.
Yeah, well that Lights, one, please. That song, yeah. Like yeah. It, what's it? Oh, What a Night. Like what's the name of that song?
Wonderful Night.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
what you
oh,
mean.
Oh, What a Wonderful Night. Yeah. That song is so good.
And it's so bouncy too.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It puts a little pep in your step.
And so that's probably like my favorite Christmas album.
Yeah.
It's become that, you know?
Yeah.
Also a fan of like Frank Sinatra's Christmas mm-hmm. album. Like,
yeah.
Just go way back with
right.
it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's just awesome, gritty. Like, mm-hmm. I like Frank Sinatra music. I know it's like even old for me
right.
to like it, but. Yeah. Even makes fun of me because I'll just be like cleaning the kitchen or doing dishes or something and put on the best of Frank Sinatra. So, probably classics like mm-hmm. that, like Frank Sinatra.
Well, you listen to his music and you also wonder, you know, there's so much production that is
now,
put on today's music. Was production really required for back in that time? What was available and how much was actually live, you know, because now they can take the guitarist, they can take the drummer, they can take the vocalist, and they can all track it individually and then put together. Whereas back in the day, you tracked that all live.
Yeah.
And if you screwed that up, you got to start it all over.
Absolutely. And that's where, and just when you can strip it down and just like, he's just a great singer.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go on to our saint of the day is Saint Peter Canisius.
Okay.
He was an amazing priest, and they said he lived life with hectic energy.
Okay.
Or it's just an unbelievable amount of energy, and his days spent preaching the gospel and writing letters to leaders of the church around Germany and his home country, I believe, the Netherlands, and who was just, everything was always out of so much love. And when he thought something was being done wrong, he would write a letter, and he wrote so many letters, and he lived until like 76 years old, and he suffered like a really bad seizure about 5 years before he died, and he was still very like an avid writer through someone else, like would write for him at that point. And it's just an amazing example of Christ in the world to others, and his, and he was known to reconcile leaders who were in, you know, conflict and stuff like that. And so it's just an amazing thing to read about him just to see what he did. And so if you get a chance, look up St. Peter Canisius, C-A-N-I-S-I-U-S, Peter Canisius, our saint of the day.
Cool.
And on to our Bible reading. I got my phone bill out.
It's all digital.
Yeah, I don't have my pages. So today's gospel is Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Man, the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's just an awesome, an awesome reading. Like, just kind of go, like, number one, where the Hail Mary comes from.
Right. Yep.
That's great. That, and it's just like, try to put yourself into young Mary in that moment. Okay, an angel just came here to talk to me.
Just told me I'm going to be pregnant.
I'm going to be pregnant. I've had no relations with a man.
Right.
So
this is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
Does Joseph know this? Oh, he doesn't know this yet. Okay.
No, okay, got it. Great. Cool. Awesome.
I have to tell him that. Okay.
Yeah, got it. So I'm going to go to him, and he's going to say, So what? I have to do what now? And then just for her at the end to say, I'm a servant of God.
Yeah.
Let it be done as you've told me. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about, like, just the faith in God that took to just know, like, this is my calling. And then just the strength that God gave her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the strength that God gave Joseph.
Yeah.
To be a faithful man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an awesome, awesome, you know, just example of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, what if an angel came down and started talking to me? Number one, I'm like, okay, I think I might be going crazy.
Yeah. How late did I stay up last night?
How much sleep did I get?
Yeah. Am I really seeing this?
Yeah. And so, like, it's just the amazing faith of a young woman to know. And it's just got to be that presence of Gabriel, the angel coming down and just, like, being in his presence must have just been, okay, this is real. And the Holy Spirit comes upon her to give her a son in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. 2,000 years later, still telling the story.
Yeah. Still singing the songs.
Still singing the songs. Still celebrating the birth of the Lord.
Yeah.
Just
let you know. Talking about traditions. You see how many come and go over the years.
Yeah.
But 2,000 years later.
No, and that's where it's like, this is how you know this is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? At some point you realize, spoiler alert, Santa Claus is not real.
What?
You know, at some point, you know that.
Yeah.
And you just know that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
St. Nicholas is real.
Absolutely.
Santa Claus is, you know, the stories of St. Nicholas are real. Yeah. And that's where that comes from. But the truth comes out. Mm-hmm. The truth comes forward. And what we know is the truth. So that Jesus was born to Mary by God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you think about that, you know, and you think about how many, you know, stories and how many just have been shared over time. And this one, the truth of God coming down and an angel speaking to a young woman saying, like, hey,
yeah,
you're about to bear God's son. Like, just the
surprise.
Just ponder that, you know? Just awesome. I'm so glad that was today's reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just awesome.
Cool.
All right, what you got?
So for news of the weird, you were talking a couple minutes ago about your guilty pleasure and Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
So you'll appreciate this. A gentleman forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Hallmark Christmas movies and then ask this bot to write a Hallmark Christmas movie of its own. And I actually have a copy of the first page of the script.
Okay.
So if it's cool with you, I think we should just do a dry read right now. So there's three parts. There's the narrator, there's the single mother, and the businessman. I can do the narrator and the single mother if you want. Want to do the businessman.
Prestigious businessman.
There you go. And I feel like we need some music to this. Okay, here we go. So for the introduction, we have a small town snow globe refillery, and the movie is called The Christmas on Christmas. We see a single mother refilling snow globes with Christmas juice. She is widow. Her father died in every war. I refill globes better than Jesus' claws, yet still my twins are dad-free. Why? They need double dad. Businessman enters a shop. He wears clothes that cost money. His hands are briefcases, and he's Hallmark hot. Hi. Do your your snow globes lack wet? Hurry, Christmas attacks soon. Businessman has flashbacks to when he was business boy. A Christmas tree explodes his family on purpose. He now hates trees and Christmas and explosions. He exits the flashback.
Shut your sound. I am from huge city. I bought your land and am turning it into oil resort.
Rude behavior. This is a family business. I sell families. I am widow. My husband is now bones. Single mother points to her husband's bones in the corner of the room. They are all gift wrapped in eggnog.
Wait a minute. There's a skeleton in the corner of the room.
Apparently.
All right. All of my wives are bones. That is America. But I must make money for my twins to live. They are a prince.
I too own twins. Please don't have bought my land. Christmas is today.
Laugh. I bought Christmas and now it is never, unless we go on dates.
I cannot date because of a snow curse. I pray Santa helps me. Santa cannot help. She did not know, but Santa was her husband. Santa is bones. Bones help nobody.
This is the worst.
End scene.
Wow. Pile of bones.
Bones help nobody.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to... Just remember, everyone, bones help no one. Oh, on that note, we're going to end this podcast.
And we're not going to have another one until 2019.
Yeah. No. Yeah. See you all next year.
Wow.
Corniest joke.
Yeah.
As always, really appreciate everyone listening. All your feedback. Love hearing from you guys. If you want to hear us talk about any topic, if you want to join in on the conversation about what your favorite Christmas music is, Christmas movies, anything like that, please reach out. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. But unless you got anything,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy everyone. New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for listening. Keep smiling. And God bless.